The condition of the world today causes great concern to me. It keeps me awake at night on more than one occasion. The concern that I see and feel for the world around us. If you look at the world, you can't help but be impressed with the great increase in immorality. You also see very rampant idolatry. The idolatry that has invaded even the Church of Jesus Christ, where people have manufactured a god of their own thoughts and a god of their own design, and they have substituted that for the real and the true and the living God, and they have become idolatrous. It seems also in our world that the imaginations of mankind is only evil continually. It's much like the day of Noah and his time, when God looked down upon the people of the world in the day of Noah, and he described them as the thoughts and intents of their heart was only evil continually. That describes our day, doesn't it? The church, in the midst of all of this confusion of the world and of the sin of the world, has begun to ask itself a question. How do we reach that world? How can we impact and affect the world that is so sinful and in great need of the gospel of Jesus Christ? And they have tried to design programs and methods and schemes and approaches to try and reach out to the world, a world that needs Christ. The Apostle Paul faced a condition very much like ours today. He went to a new place, the city of Corinth, and we find described for us in the Word of God how Paul reached those people and how God, by the Spirit of God, ministered through him to reach the city of Corinth. If you have a Bible nearby, take it and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll read just a few verses and then we'll examine them to see how God reached that world for Christ with the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not rest upon the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Before we take a look at these scriptures, I want to describe for you the city of Corinth at the day when Paul went to minister to them. The city of Corinth was a large city, somewhere in the vicinity of 500,000 people. It was a very carnal city. It was idolatrous. It was steeped and infiltrated with immorality, even in the temple worship. It was rampant within the temples of that day, filled with immorality. It was at that time also the center of world trade, so that commerce from east and west and all over the world came through that city of Corinth, and it had a great significant impact and influence in the world economically. In addition to that, it was also a military power. It describes and sounds much like our world today, doesn't it? Very similar in circumstance, very similar in its impact and influence in the world, and very similar as to its sinful nature and condition. We can learn from Paul how God worked there to give us an indication of how God desires to work in our world today. And I want us to see from this passage of Scripture how God wants to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The facts and the fallacies, the right ways and the wrong ways, of how God, by His Spirit, wants to reach the world with the gospel. First thing I want you to notice is the message of Paul. What message did he preach? Well, notice real quickly, if you will, verse number 2 of this chapter number 2. It says, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." Notice he gives two explanations here, or two aspects of his message. He says, first of all, I determined not to know anything else but Jesus Christ. First, let's take a look at the not anything else. What did he not include in his message? Well, when Paul went to the city of Corinth, he did not go to them with any special topic. He did not go to them with any special emphasis that he tried to reach out that might be appealing and attractive to the world. Instead, it says, he went to them very simply with the message of Jesus Christ and him crucified. We find throughout all of Scripture and Paul's writings to his other churches where he had started and where he had ministered to them, we find that that was his same emphasis and approach in every city where he went. Whether it be the city of Ephesus, whether it be the city of Corinth, whether it be the city of Colossae, or the city of Philippi, or Rome, it made no difference. For Paul, his emphasis was always squarely upon Jesus Christ. His person and his works. The person of Jesus Christ, deity, the Son of God, the one who came to be the Messiah, the one who came to be the substitute to bear the sin of man and to please an angry God. And then the works of Christ. Not just his miraculous works, although those were many. Not just his miraculous sermons, although there were many, but included in the works of Christ that Paul emphasized at Corinth was the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. The person and work of Jesus Christ. And we find that with the emphasis of Peter also on the day of Pentecost, when he preached that magnificent sermon recorded in Acts chapter 2, and how at the conclusion of that message, there were thousands who came in response to that message. What did he preach? He preached Jesus Christ and him crucified. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The person and work of Jesus Christ. One of the sad things that I note in the church today is a great emphasis upon what appealing topics can we use to try and draw the world into the church to hear the message of Christ. And we've tried everything. We've tried relevancy. We've tried to talk about finances. We have tried to talk about the family. We have tried to talk about psychological problems in the past that people might have had that will affect their lives. And there's nothing wrong with those. But the problem is it's not Jesus Christ. We have diverted our attention from the one thing that can rescue and change man, and that's Jesus Christ. And we have turned it and tried to devise other kinds of topics that would appeal to the world, hoping that we might bring them in and thereby have an opportunity to influence them with the gospel. When we look at the Scriptures, we don't find that the approach of God. God's approach is to raise up and elevate the Lord Jesus Christ and to talk about him and to explain his person, his character, his nature, and his works for man. We find here the message of Paul was Jesus Christ and him crucified. If we are ever to impact the world in which we live today, we must return to the same message that Paul preached, Jesus Christ and him crucified. I want you to notice the second thing about Paul and his approach in the city of Corinth, and that was his method. What was his method? How did he go about presenting this message. Notice, if you will, verse number 1, it says, "Brethren, when I came to you, I came declaring unto you the testimony of God." And then you notice down in verse number 4, it says, "And my preaching." So that we see that the emphasis of Paul was preaching. And then we see that's the positive side. Then we see the negative side of what he did not do. He gives us a clue into that direction as well. He says, "When I came, it was not with excellency of speech or wisdom. It was in great fear and trembling and in great weakness. It was not with enticing words." Well, now, what do all of these mean? Well, let's take them one at a time and see what Paul meant when he was giving this description of his approach to presenting the gospel. First, in verse number 1, it says, "Not with excellency of speech." Now, that does not mean that he got up in front of people and stumbled over his words and used poor language and did not use good grammar and did not use proper structure in his sentences. That's not what it means when it says he did not use excellency in his message. Well, what does it mean then? That phrase means that when Paul came to present the gospel, he did not come as one setting himself up and saying, "I am the authority." He did not come with a polished personality. He did not come as some kind of a hero, white knight, coming in on a white horse. He did not come in excellency of speech. He did not come presenting himself as the authority. He did not come as a hero. He did not come as setting himself up on some kind of a pedestal. That's what it means when he says he came not in excellency of speech. Let's notice now, secondly, it says, "Not with enticing words of wisdom." What does he mean when he says that? "I did not come with enticing words or wisdom." Enticing words of wisdom describes someone who is trying to preach with a certain kind of popular language, or trying to come in some fashion as trying to be very persuasive and subtle, trying to trick someone or trying to sell someone to change based on their language and how they present it. So Paul said, "When I came, I did not come as an authority, nor did I come as one trying to sell you and persuade you with rhetoric and with logic." Notice also he says, "When I came in weakness, and I came with trembling, and I came in fear." It describes the condition of Paul at that time, and we read that in Acts chapter 18, where Paul explains his condition while he was in the city of Corinth. He was in great fear because he had great many enemies. There were many people in the city of Corinth who opposed his message. The Jews of that day in the city of Corinth opposed him vigorously and caused him great turmoil and difficulty. So Paul found himself in great weakness, found himself fearful, found himself trembling. So the approach and the method of Paul was then to preach and to declare the testimony of God. We have a great many methods and techniques today to try and appeal to the world, don't we? It almost seems like we've adopted the philosophy that the end justifies the means, and that because we can couch it in the our purpose to try and reach the world, that we just say anything goes. We will try anything to reach the gospel. Well, what did Paul do? Paul preached, and he declared the truth of the gospel in preaching. We find him stating earlier in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 1, he says that God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And the foolish thing of the world that confounds the wise is preaching. He said that by the foolishness of preaching, that men's lives are changed and their hearts are turned to believe and to trust. We have a great dearth of preaching in America today. We've tried everything. We've tried debates. We've tried seminars. We've tried symposiums. We've tried discussions. We've tried question and answer. And we've almost set aside preaching as though there is some frailty or weakness in preaching, as though somehow it is ineffective. The scriptures tell us that it's by the foolishness of preaching. We have a dearth of preaching today. Not only do we have a dearth of preaching, we have a dearth of biblical preaching. We have some talks that are given on some of the current issues of the day, and they sound almost more like a political discussion than they do a message challenging men's hearts and lives. We need to return not just to preaching, but we need to return to biblical preaching, where we take the scriptures and we examine them to see what God says in His Word that is for us to believe and for us to obey. We find when Paul went to Corinth or when he went to any of the other cities where he wanted to present the gospel to a challenging world, his approach was to preach Jesus Christ. That was his approach. Now I want to notice the third aspect of Paul's presentation of the gospel in Corinth. We see his message was Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We see his method, which was preaching, declaring the truth of God. And now we see number three, the power of God. Notice, if you will, in verse number four, it says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." So we find when the Apostle Paul went to Corinth, he didn't go in his own strength. In fact, we see he didn't have any strength. He describes his condition as being in fear and trembling and in great physical weakness. And so the presentation of the gospel of Christ was done in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So we find that in that presentation there was the miraculous. There was the authority and ability supernaturally of God that was presenting the truth through Paul, the instrument. We try all kinds of approaches in our day and age, don't we? We have the polished personality. We have the power of a popular topic. We have the approach of great music. And we try to have musical programs and special emphases to try and approach people and to attract them into the church to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have all kinds of special topics that we try to use to attract them and to appeal to them. But the one thing we have really failed and missed significantly is the power of God. Paul describes here and in every of the books that he wrote and sent letters to the churches where he preached and where he taught, he always makes reference to the fact that my presentation to you was not in my own strength, but was in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. The miraculous. One of the very clear evidences that the Church of Jesus Christ today is in sad decline and decay is the fact that there is nothing miraculous about us anymore. We can all be explained. We can be explained by the kind of program we use. We can be explained by the kind of personalities that we bring in to preach and to attract the crowd. We have all the kinds of emphases that the world uses, but no power. Nothing mysterious and miraculous about us anymore. We have gone to the world, asking the world advice on how we can reach them. And then when we have some kind of success, say God did it. My friend, God is not into using the means of the world to reach the world. He has laid out for us in His Word how we are to reach the world. It's with the message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, buried, resurrected, ascended to the right hand of God the Father. It's through preaching, it's through the foolishness of preaching that men's hearts are changed and challenged. And that is all done under the power of the Holy Spirit, in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. The message attended by the miraculous, the presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, proven and manifested by the Spirit of God as He chooses, and in the way in which He chooses, but very specifically and definitely by His power and by the Spirit of God. Well, what truths can we learn here that will apply to our lives, and what can they accomplish in our lives today? Well, the first thing they can accomplish in our lives today is they can clarify for us the truth of God. And what truths are they? The truth of God concerning Jesus Christ and how He is our message. He is the one we proclaim. We don't proclaim special topics that are appealing to the world. We preach Jesus Christ, Him crucified, buried, resurrected, ascended to the right hand of God, our substitute, our Savior. We preach that message. And we see another truth further, that we do it by preaching. We don't do it by other means. We use the scriptural means of preaching. And we find that it is all born by the Spirit. He is the one who empowers it and makes it effective in the hearts and lives of people. And we need to mold our judgment based on these truths, so they can clarify for us the truth. The second thing these truths can accomplish in our lives is they can convict us. They can point out for us in our own lives where we have failed to follow the biblical injunction and pattern. I would ask you today, where in your life have you fallen prey to the temptation of using the world's means to accomplish God's purposes? God has not only given us a purpose and an aim and a focus, but He has also given us the means and the method to accomplish that purpose. That means that through the ministry and work of the Spirit of God, supernaturally, supernatural authority, supernatural ability, through believers. So we see that these truths can clarify, they can convict us, they can correct us. They can mold us and shape us in the right pattern. They not only point out our error, but they also point out for us the truth and the reality and the real thing, if you will. The truth which we must follow. So they can correct us. They can change us from walking the wrong pattern and following the wrong means to following instead the scriptural pattern and the scriptural means, that born by the Spirit of God. And then fourth, they will then conform us to the will and purpose of God for our lives. So these truths will accomplish these four things in our lives today. They can clarify for us the truth. They can convict us of sin and where we have fallen short and where we have grieved the Spirit of God, where we have quenched His ministry because we have used our own human means to accomplish God's purpose. They can correct us. They can change our pattern and change our focus to where we now follow God's pattern so that we conform to the will and purpose of God. Today I would challenge you. What changes must you make in your life as a result of these truths today? Well, on the one hand, you can reject them. You can simply set them aside and say those are just the teachings of a young man who doesn't know what he's talking about. And you can say, I'm going to adopt the approach and the philosophy of the world, and I'm going to do any means to reach people. And you can reject it all. And in the process, I would remind you that by using the flesh, you will only reproduce the flesh. To reproduce the Spirit, it must be done by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God has outlined for us the means and the message and the method which He uses is through the preaching of Jesus Christ. So you can reject it, but I want you to be aware of the consequences you will suffer when you reject it. On the other hand, you can receive the message of the Spirit of God today and His conviction in your life, and you can change as a result of the work of the Spirit of God in your life and His ministry. You can confess your sin. You can confess those areas where you have quenched the Spirit of God and where you have grieved Him. And you can repent and you can come to the Father seeking the power and ministry of the Spirit of God in your life. I would pray that today you would follow that choice, that you would choose to confess and repent and return to God and permit the Spirit of God to work in you as He did through Paul to reach your world through the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. If you will make that choice today, you will find a spiritual renewing within yourself that will affect and will impact your world for Jesus Christ.